wonderful to be with all of you this morning. I don't know if you've ever heard of a person by the name of Helen Keller. Perhaps most of you have. She was a fantastic lady that did some great work around the world in helping those who were blind and deaf, because she was both of them, both blind and deaf. When she was about 19 months old, I think she had meningitis or something where she lost these two faculties. And I'm sharing about her because she said something very fantastic in light of her limitations. The most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is encourage you to be visionaries. A visionary is someone who does not see things as they appear to be, but sees things as they can be or should be. They see beyond the present state and see what it can become. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to look at somebody that had vision. Chapter 12. They had vision. Doesn't mean they could see, but they could see beyond the five senses. Chapter 12 in Genesis, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God was saying, I will do these things. Now, Abram at this time was around 75 years of age. His wife was barren. He had no children. And yet God was putting it out there for him that he would be blessed and he would make of him a great nation. Abram had to have vision, didn't he, to see this come to pass. He had to believe God. Look at Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Wow. Abram couldn't have any kids. Of course, he was a man, certainly he couldn't have any, but his wife couldn't. His wife could not have children. And lo and behold, God says, look up there in the stars, and you're going to have that many. Wow. What happened? Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Did Abram see some kids? He did. He did. And as time went on, millions of people came from his seed. God came through on this promise. You know, today we are trained to look at a situation and assess it according to the circumstances, the facts, the figures, what's going on around us. And from that, we make decisions. And really, people limit themselves by these facts. For the most part, people don't go any farther than what they see, what they know. But you know what? This is not true of successful people. Successful people have vision. They go beyond the information at hand. They see things much bigger, much farther than most people. They're visionary people. They're great, wonderful people because they have vision for the future bigger than other folks. And I'm sure we could talk about folks that have great vision, great success in all walks of life. You know, in business, athletics, in engineering, you name the field. And the successful people are the ones that had vision that went beyond what information was readily available to them. They are visionaries. They go beyond the facts in front of them. They have vision beyond what others may say. You know, there's four people that I want to briefly share that had vision in their life. Edison. The second one's not a person, but it's an event that occurred. The building of the Panama Canal. Ern Gladden and Jan Majera. Edison, as many of you know, invented a lot of things that people said would never come to pass. These light bulbs here. He invented the light bulb. It took him hundreds and hundreds of experiments to come up with the right filament to produce an efficient light bulb. But he had vision and he moved out on it and he saw the results. The Panama Canal. It's about 50 miles of a ditch in land that was filled with water so boats could go from east to west. They didn't have to go 800 or 8,000 miles around South America. You know, can you imagine building a trench big enough to carry a large boat from here to Julian? Man. But people had vision, and they made it come to pass. Ern Gladden has 40 acres of hills and scrub brush. Yet he sees an amphitheater filled with hundreds of people to hear God's word. Jan Majera, at a time in her life, had to bring up her children on her own, work full time, and yet she worked on a task to produce a series of books in Aramaic that very, very few people have ever done before. And we're really blessed with those, aren't we? But how can this be done? It takes vision, doesn't it? It takes vision. Well, God's word is about vision. It's all about God who has vision. God has vision. Jesus Christ had vision. In the word, there is instruction for us to have great vision too, doesn't it? So we've already looked at Abraham. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I call Hebrews chapter 11 a Reader's Digest of the Old Testament. You know, there's information about some of the great folks that believe God in the Old Testament. So chapter 11, let's pick it up at verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith or believing, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Can you imagine having a guy next door starting to build a house, let's say out in El Cajon especially? He started building a boat bigger than a football field. What would you say of that person? A little Lulu in the top of the shoulders there, aren't you? How do you think Noah felt? Building this boat for years upon years upon years. But how could he do it? God told him to do it. He had vision. He believed God. Well, was there a boat? And the neighbor was laughing underwater eventually. He wasn't laughing by then, was he? Well, by faith, verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Why would he do such a thing? Because God said, do it. God said, go. And what did he do? He went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God had given him a vision of the future where God would have a beautiful city for those who believed him from the children of Israel. Showed him the future, some of the things we read about in Revelations. Didn't see, didn't experience those things, but he had that vision and he moved ahead in his life because of that great vision. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who what? Had promised. She couldn't have kids. Yet God said, you can. And she believed God. She had that vision. She believed God. Believed God. If there's a promise in God's word and you believe it, what's going to happen? You're going to receive it. I don't care what the neighbors say. What anybody else has said, it's going to come to pass because it's God's word. God does not lie. He's not a man that he should lie, right? So we can believe God's word. Okay, verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. We saw it in Genesis, didn't we? And yet what came to pass? The promise of God, what God said, did come to pass. Now verse 13 says, these all died in faith, in believing, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Man, oh man, even though they didn't receive the promise, they still believed God. They still moved ahead with the vision that God set in front of them. For they that say such things declare plainly that they shall seek a country. This word country in the Greek is a root word that refers to the Father. Some people translate it, seek a true country, or perhaps even a better translation, a fatherland. A fatherland. They seek a fatherland. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And it goes on. Let's jump down to verse 22. By faith, by believing, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, this wasn't after he died, but right before he died, he said, you know, take my bones with you. And they're wondering, well, we're here in Egypt. But he knew. He had vision that they had to get back to the promised land, didn't they? And that's why he believed God. That's why he told him that. By faith, verse 23, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Remember, he was picked up out of the creek there, right? Raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. He had it made. Riches, everything, anything. He had it. Yet, God put something in his heart to say, hey, you're going to help your people out, the people that you were truly born with. And he gave all of that up. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Boy, he had vision. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Man, he saw that there would be a Christ coming. This Christ that God had originally promised way back when. And he chose to be with the children of Israel where they were making bricks with straw, and sometimes they didn't even have the straw to make it. He'd rather be with those folks there. But he saw something bigger. Verse 27, but by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? Can't see God, can you? He's invisible. But boy, you sure can believe him, huh? And if he says it, it'll come to pass if you believe it. You see, we can become visionaries as we see God's word and believe it and walk out on it. Hebrews chapter 12. Perhaps the greatest visionary of all time, and not even perhaps, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a great visionary. Verse 2 of chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Man, oh man, he knew he'd have to suffer an despicable, horrible death. He would be so beat up, so violated. And he knew this from the Old Testament. And yet, he endured that because of the joy of the future that he would be with his heavenly Father. He went through that. And it was joy, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, you and I can be visionaries because we have Christ in us. We can be successful visionaries because we have Christ in us. God has called us to do some great and wonderful things. You know, God is a visionary. What did God vision? What did he so desire? Children, a family, kids. Why did God start life? Why did God make the universe, the heavens, everything that we see and can't see? Why did he do all of that? Because he had vision. He had a desire to have children that he could love. And that would love him back. That's why God did what he did. He made man, right? In the beginning, Genesis, made man in his own image, gave him spirit so he could have that sweet fellowship with man. God had a great vision of a wonderful, beautiful family. He started with one. What happened with that one? Didn't work out, did it? He blew it. He messed up. So you think God changed his mind and says, I'm not going to have a family anymore. I'll live this the rest of my life alone. No. You know what? He so desired to have children, to have a love relationship with his people, that he made a promise. He made a promise, and that he would send a Christ, a Messiah, that would pay the price so that people could be born again of His Spirit and have eternal life, Spirit permanent inside of them. And we read all through the Old Testament the promised seed moving all the way through until Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad God had a vision? Because you and I are a wonderful part of that vision. Tremendous part of that vision. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. God still has a wonderful desire, a vision that's expressed in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says, who will have, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is what God so desires. How many people? All. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's His desire. That's His vision. You and I, as born again ones, have that vision too, don't we? We do too. He's our Father. He loves us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the action, the fulfillment of God's desire and vision to love and to have children. Chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. God is rich in mercy. And if you ever think in your life situations that you've messed up too far with God, that God would never take you back or never love you again or never have any of His promise come to pass in your life, don't think like that. Why? God is rich in what? Mercy. He is rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, regardless of our condition, no matter how bad we were, didn't make any difference with God. He hath quickened us together with Christ. He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, this is where God has us, seated in the heavenlies, right? Now we're not there now. We're seated in Point Loma Assembly. But this is where God's vision is. This is what He sees. This is what blesses Him. We're seated in the heavenlies. Man, if we could have that vision too. Where are you seated right now? What? Yeah. Yeah. That's where you're seated in the heavenlies. That's where you're seated in the heavenlies. That's what we need to have. That vision of who we are, where we're at. We identify fully with the Lord Jesus Christ. That in the ages, verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show or exhibit the exceeding riches of His grace. God's got some great things stored up for us. He's just so anxious to show us. Oh man, He can't wait to show us the exceeding riches of His grace in the ages to come. He has vision, doesn't He, for great things for us. Man, He blesses us so much as it is right now. But there are so great, tremendous things ahead. Man, look out. Look out. Ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Look in Revelations chapter 20. Look what God planned for Himself. This is what God planned for Himself. Chapter 21. Now, God wouldn't do something unless He really wanted to do it, right? So, this is what He's got planned. 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is what God's really looking forward to. And God shall wipe away some tears, all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Hallelujah. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Boy, God's telling us what he's looking forward to in the way in the future. Because this is what he wants. And look, we're a great, wonderful part of this. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You and I are born again of God's Spirit, right? We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We got saved, born again. It's a gift, right? We couldn't earn it. It's by grace we're saved. And we have these kind of things to look forward to in the great future. Great vision. Tremendous vision. So what about our vision? We've seen God's vision. What's our vision? God's word says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. As born again ones, we can live a very exciting life if we have vision. We do not have to allow the circumstances around us to dictate the results that we have in our life. We are sons of God with power. Ephesians 2:10 says we're his workmanship. There are great things that we can look forward to because we have the hope of Christ's return, don't we? Christ is coming back. And some of these things that God's desire and that we're kind of looking forward to too are going to come to pass. And it's going to come to pass at any moment. You know what? The vision that we can have for these things in the future and who we are now in Christ should just get us so excited in living life. Living day by day by day, knowing that Christ is going to come back at any moment. And until that day, we can believe the promises of God. We can do the things that God has called us to do. We can be a part of all men saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Look at Galatians 2:20. This is a great encouragement for us and how we can be visionaries and walk and live our life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, again, this is a figure of speech, but as far as God's concerned, we've been crucified with Christ. We fully identify with him, right? In all that he did, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, how are we going to live it? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the life we want to live. We want to live that life as Christ lived. A life that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's some great things ahead, folks, and we're a big part of it. A fantastic part of it. And as we move in that direction, there's some great things that we've been called to do. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you feel pain sometimes? I do. You know, hurt, disappointed sometimes. Things might not work out all the time. Stuff happens, right? Things happen. But you know what? We can get through it because there's a far exceeding reward in the future as we move through the times that we live, living them for our Heavenly Father. While we look, this is how we do it, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, if that's not an oxymoron, I mean, don't look at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are not seen. What is he talking about here? Who should we look to? God. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God Almighty. So that's, where should our focus be as we live our life? The invisible things, our Heavenly Father, the great spiritual realities. You see, we are visionaries, great visionaries. Look at chapter 5, verse 5. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, that token, right? We have that token. How do you know you got the Spirit in you? Yeah, that's one great way to manifest it. Speaking in tongues, that wonderful manifestation. You know that you have eternal life, don't you? You know you're seated in the heavenlies. You know that you've got Christ within. You know Christ is coming back. Wow. You can have vision for your life as God works within you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Man, oh man. Fantastic. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're a new creation in Christ, huh? We're a new creation in Christ. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, boy, there's that mercy again, huh? That abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto what kind of a hope? A lively hope, a living hope, a hope that's alive, man. It's going to come to pass. Man, oh man, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, if that doesn't turn you on, if I gave you $1 million right now, would that turn you on? Would you rather have $1 million or seated in the heavenlies? Eternal life. Yeah, come on, folks. That's how big our eternal life is, isn't it? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ coming back at any time. We've got a mission much bigger than Star Trek. We've got a mission to move God's Word over the world, to move God's Word over San Diego in a big, wonderful, beautiful way. God has been opening great doors for things to happen here. Next couple years are going to be so fantastic, so tremendous. Man, oh man, Kathy Roth, you were excited now sharing about, you know, being in the Word for a period of time and how things are so sweet and wonderful. Look out. You know, next February, it's going to be fantastic. if the Lord tarries. Because we've got vision, right? We've got vision to move God's word over the world, to make available the integrity and accuracy of God's word to each and every person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, right living, right word of God. Okay? Okay, let's get back to the word here. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, through believing, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you're kind of okay with it. No, you greatly rejoice. Through now, though now, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. Through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, your believing, being much more precious than gold. How do we believe with the attacks of the adversary? How do we handle that? Are we believed to overcome these things? Sure, we do our best, man. And as we overcome the attacks of the adversaries, we believe God to do great and wondrous things, to help people get born again, to move God's word. That's much more value than gold. What's going to happen sometime with gold and everything else in this earth? It's going to be gone, but who's going to be around? You and I. So, much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Christ comes back, what a lifestyle we live, huh? You know, when you look at all the famous successful men and women in history, their vision pales compared to ours as sons of God. We are the true visionaries of our times, aren't we? We have something to really, really look forward to really, really help people with. So are you excited about tomorrow and the days ahead? I hope so. I am too. And I'm glad we can do this together. It's a lot more fun doing it together, isn't it? So, Heavenly Father, we're sure grateful and thankful for calling us to this family, that your heart's desire is to have us to love and that we can love you, Father. And I pray that we do love you back and praise you much, Father. Father, I pray for each and every person here as they fellowship with you, that, Father, you can continue to work mightily within them, to bless them, to heal them, to direct them. And, Father, I thank you for what you have done and for the wonderful laborers that you've sent. And we pray for more laborers to the harvest, Father. We pray for more doors of utterance to open to speak your word to hungry souls. So, Father, thank you for the richness of your life and your vision for us. And I pray that we may have great vision with you as your sons and daughters. And I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right.